This is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. America's culture of work is in a period of transition. For generations, the standard work week consisted of 40 hours, split evenly from Monday through Friday. In other words, the traditional 9-to-5. Of course, not every industry fits that schedule. But in the past decade, we've seen the rise of gig work. That is, working on your own time. Think of driving for Uber, delivering for DoorDash, or freelancing for anyone. Another major change came with the pandemic, when we saw a huge rise in the number of people working from home, making the daily commute a thing of the past, at least for many knowledge workers. With these changes has come a growing interest in the idea of the four-day work week, which generally means 4 days on, 3 days off. This could mean packing 40 hours of work into those 4 days, but I think the idealized version of this would have people scale back to 32 hours a week. A four-day workweek trial recently ended in the United Kingdom. 61 companies took part, and all but five of them decided to keep going with the trial. A bunch just made the shorter workweek permanent. We're going to be talking about this for the rest of our program today, so what do you think? 800-222-9455 is the number to join our conversation today. Would you like to scale back to 4 days a week? Could you scale back to 4 days a week in your line of work? 800-222-9455. Or maybe you're an employer. Do you think you could get just as much out of your workers in 4 days? 800-222-9455. We asked members of our texting group about this. Sarah in Rockford said, "My spouse went to a four-day work week with Fridays being optional overtime. It's been amazing for our family. We can actually do stuff together and plan much better." Katie in Nokomis said, "I think it would be the greatest thing ever and would especially help working moms." But not everyone thought it was a good idea. Randy said, in part, "Once again, rural America is being pushed way back. We work 7 days all year, and the businesses that were once in our communities that helped us keep our farms going are never open, and they're increasingly far away. I'm for a 6-day week. That being said, make work well paid and give time to be well when needed, but no to the 4-day and yes to the 6-day week." That was from Randy. Joining us now to talk more about this is Meredith Lane-Canow. She's the People and Cultural Business Partner at AWIN, which is a global technology company with employees in Chicago. AWIN has had a 4-day work week since 2021. Meredith, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thanks, Brian. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Also joining us is Robert Bruno, Director of the Labor Education Program and Professor in the School of Labor and Employment Relations at the University of Illinois. Professor Bruno, Bob, if I may, welcome back to the 21st Show to you.
Yes, you certainly may. It's a real pleasure to be with you today, Brian. Thanks.
So, Bob, I want to begin with you. And the idea of shorter hours and work weeks is not exactly a new idea. I understand it goes back to the 1930s. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, it's not a new idea. It's been around, as you say, at least the 1930s. There really was a movement to work towards a 30-hour work week shortly after an informal 40 hours had been set. There was actually a bill passed in the Senate. We were working on this industrial model that I guess if any one individual most responsible would be Henry Ford. And of course, that 40 hours was an enormous improvement for what workers were averaging in the latter part of the 19th century into the early part of the 20th century, when work weeks were 7 days and hours accumulated in excess of 60 and 70. So already, you know, by the 1930s, there were serious discussion about what a sane and productive work week should look like. The Senate bill did not go forward. President Roosevelt got cold feet. We ended up with the passage of the Fair Labor Standards Act in 1938, and that set overtime. After 40 hours, it was meant to be a disincentive for working people too long. And since then, there have been other drives to continue to push the work week down. Some companies like Kellogg's, actually well into the 1960s, it was a 5-day work week, but it was 30 hours. It's just that we've settled in to this work schedule. And unfortunately, the 40-hour work week is really not so dominant anymore, because for a number of years, we've been averaging more than 40 hours a week. So not a new idea, but one that's never been, I think, far from the imagination of workers and entrepreneurs.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I wonder, Bob, if the 30-hour work week would have stuck around, do you think that would now be the norm, or would we be talking about, you know, changing to a 20-hour work week or something?
Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah, no, these are great historical questions. The 40-hour has stuck, at least if not in practice, at least formally and through the recognition of overtime laws. Had we moved to 30 hours, that would have been the norm. That would have been the standard. We would have all adopted that and adapted to it. And I think as technology continue to improve and we understood how to work smarter, levels of education would go up, our economy would go through various transitions, we would, as a society, continue to look for ways to be just as productive, to do meaningful work, but to create even a greater balance between work and family. And we would be talking about something less than 30 hours. John Maynard Keynes, actually, writing in the 1930s, believed that even at that point, America had become a prosperous enough society. Now, there was, of course, the Depression that unfolded shortly thereafter, but its economic infrastructure was so strong that with ever increasing levels of wealth and improvements in technology and education, we really should be able to reduce the work week. And he was predicting 15 hours, and he might have been on to something. So it does matter where you set that standard.
Yeah, economic possibilities for our grandchildren, I think you're talking about
there. Let's hope.
Yeah. Well, that was Keynes's idea in 1930. Hasn't come to pass yet. No. Meredith Link, now I want to bring you into the conversation. Now, people and cultural business partner at the global technology company Awin. Awin was on a 5-day work week schedule. Why did it consider changing to the 4-day schedule?
Yeah, thank you for that question. I think, you know, we as a company reevaluated kind of what our work week looked like so many other organizations did with the start of COVID. And where this all started was early on in COVID, I think it was around May of 2020, our board introduced Family Fridays, where we were able to take a half day on Friday afternoons. Really, they wanted us to step away from our laptops, kind of hit the reset button, for the lack of a better way to put it, and come back refreshed, ready to start off the week on a Monday. And it was over the course of introducing that, we saw some really clear things in our employee engagement surveys, a lot of jumps in scores around work-life balance, well-being, which was an important topic for us and continues to be. And that's where we went and we furthered the conversation along much more. The trial for, you know, migrating towards permanently a 4-day work week was, you know, a pretty long process, because I think, as, you know, it's been pointed out in the conversation here, you want to look for efficiencies and question what's working and what's not working. And so that's kind of where it came from and how it started to migrate.
So you're at the partner level at the company. Did you transition to a 4-day week? Has everybody done it, CEO on down?
Yes. I sit on our people and culture global team, working to support as a business partner for the U.S. And yes, I myself as well have transitioned to a 4-day work week as well.
What has that meant for you personally?
You know, a lot of different things. You know, that time to be able to, you know, head over and see my family for a long weekend. I grew up in Indiana over in Fort Wayne, so I get that time back to go over there and spend time with them. When we have that nice weather in Chicago, I'm able to be out and about and enjoying that nice weather in the city of Chicago. I think what we have found across our organization is that extra time means different things for different people. We've seen some of our employees who've gone on to further their education with that time that they've gotten back. So it's been a lot of different things, I think, for different people.
Bob, what from a sort of a macro standpoint, what are some of the other reasons a company might look to transition to a four-day work week?
Sure. Well, I think it's marvelous that my co-guest here is speaking about this shift and how it's working, and she actually touched on a lot of the macro findings of why this shorter work week is so valuable. What we know from the pilots that were done and from other surveys and research is that the four-day work week allows for a greater work-life balance. Workers feel happier about being at work. They don't resent being there. They better balance their busy lives. They're more present with their families. It has enormous implications in terms of their children's educational performance. It's connected to not only the individual workers' physical well-being, and I mean mental as well as physical, but also related to overall household well-being. We also find that there are real gains in productivity. Workers are no less productive. They don't perform less work.
Can I pause on that? Because I think that might be counterintuitive to some people, right? Like, how can you perform less work in less hours or not perform less work in less hours?
Right. Well, so as you noted at the top, Ryan, it's conceivable. And I'd certainly like to hear our guests talk about the real world implementation in their company. But you could go to 10-hour days. You could do that. And therefore, you're putting in roughly that same 40-hour week. And so theoretically, you're not, if you're simply counting the minutes and equating that with some output, you're not doing anything less. However, if the work week were more like 32 hours, but you're highly efficient in that time, you're going to provide better value as an employee, and you're also feeling better about the job. Like you're actually looking forward either to going there, or when you're there, you're fully present. Again, research has really kind of examined this, and there's real strong reason to believe that even though we put in these long sun up to sundown like hours on a job, maybe after 4 hours, maybe after 5 hours, maybe after 6 hours, it's all diminishing returns, and we're not all that efficient. And because we're burned out, we come back the next day, and it takes a little while to get the wheels rolling again, and we aren't as efficient. So there's a spillover effect, a hangover effect from the previous day. So yes, you can be more efficient. You can get more done in a shorter period of time necessarily than you can in those longer hours that essentially you're just, if you will, watching the clock, and therefore you're not really fully engaged with what you're doing. So no loss of efficiency and productivity. And that's what, by the way, those UK companies found in the pilot. It was the owners, the managers, who said, we're doing really well.
Meredith, how about that? What form does the four-day work week take at AWIN? Is it 40 hours in 4 days, or 32 hours, or do you find some other way to measure it?
It's 32 hours within those 4 days, and I think, you know, my fellow guests hit on some really great points. You know, We kicked off this pilot as a company in January 1st of 2021. And over the course of that pilot, extended it for a couple of times so that we could be evaluating not only our successes, but areas of concern that we might have. We looked a lot at what were tasks that we could automate to work smarter, to pick off some of that low-hanging fruit. What were some of the key time drains over the course of the week? I think everybody has seen those weeks where that meeting probably could have gone 30 minutes instead mm-hmm. of 45 minutes. It was really about evaluating some of those things like that and making those small tweaks over the course of the pilot to make sure that we could do the 4-day work week, but we could still deliver, to our customers and clients at the high level of, satisfaction that they expect from us.
Yeah. One of my favorite expressions is this meeting could have been an email. I definitely feel that sometimes. All right. We're going to take a break on our program. When we come back, we're going to continue talking about the 4-day work week with Meredith Lankenau from AWIN and Bob Bruno, professor in the Labor and Employment Relations School at the University of Illinois. 800-222-9455. If you want to join our conversation, what do you think about the 4-day work week? Would it be right for you and your family? And what about your company? 800-222-9455. This is The 21st Show. Stay with us. I'm already up and gone. Lord, I'm so tired. How long can this go on?
Daddy, working in a coal mine. Going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine. Whoop, about to flip down.
Working
in a coal mine.
Going
down, down, down.
Working
in a coal mine. Whoop. About to slip down.
Cause I make a little money hauling coal by the ton. But when Saturday rolls around, I'm too tired for having fun.
Too tired for having, I'm just working in a coal mine. Going down, down.
It's been a hard
And just think how much more feeling all right you'd be if you only had a 4-day work week. This is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. That is what we are talking about for the rest of our program today. We're talking about this with Robert Bruno, director of the Labor Education Program and professor in the School of Labor and Employment Relations at the University of Illinois. Also, Meredith Lankenau, who's the people and cultural business partner at AWIN, a global technology company with employees in Chicago and elsewhere. They have had a 4-day work week since 2021. And 800-222-9455 is the number if you want to join our program today. We heard from a number of you by text message. Ian in Champaign says, I paused my job search when I heard a rumor that my current boss was considering a 4-day work week. I know for certain that I have options that are higher paying and my resume is ready to send to those jobs, but a 3-day weekend is something I could never, ever pass up or give up once I had it. On the other hand, we heard from Sue in Champaign, who asked, what about schools? And so, Bob, I'm going to put that question to you. Is this something that would work for every industry, right? We think of operations that have to be 24/7, like fire departments, police departments, hospitals, mm-hmm. Those sorts of things.
Right. Yeah. And that's a challenge, right? You'd have to look at the details within each industry occupation. But I don't think that these are so difficult that they can't be overcome. So I do think it could apply across the board. Keep in mind, there may need to be a 24/7 like operation, a hospital, certainly within sort of public safety settings. But that doesn't mean it's the same group of people. One of the other reasons why we have an overtime law in this country is so you don't work people to death. And you incentivize hiring new people who come in and they're efficient and they produce greater value. And so it works for the employer or the public entity. And it's also creating jobs. So it doesn't have to be the same, let's say 40 hours or 32 hours. You can manage it through a different work groups. One of the great things that I heard from Meredith was how they kind of rationalized their business. And they really took a good hard look at what was needed and what was efficient and where did technology fit. You can do the same thing in any industry. Schools, for example, well, we have a model largely that goes back to almost an agrarian period where schools, for the most part, closed down in June. Now, there is some 12-month education that occurs, but imagine a 12-month, and I don't want to set off teachers and parents here, but you've asked me to think about this. Imagine school was 12 months. You went the same number of required days. Maybe you went 100, I think it's 177 under the Illinois school code, but you went Monday through Friday. But you went around, the clock. You went 12 months and you just kind of managed
Monday time through Thursday, you mean? Yeah.
So, I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah, thank you, Brian. Yeah. You went Monday through Thursday. Or perhaps you stay with the same schedule, but your Friday was some kind of group project activity that maybe required a certain degree of teacher direction, but maybe that can be done on a rotating basis. So I think we can be creative about this, and it can be overcome pretty much, I think, in any industry. And think about firefighters, too, by the way. They live at the fire station maybe a week on, a week off. So we've actually tried this arrangement before with no loss of service, to the public.
Yeah, absolutely. I almost had a job back in a prior life. I was an emergency medical technician and almost had a job that was 4 days on, 3 days off. And then the next week it would be 3 days on, 4 days off. That sounded amazing at the time. Didn't end up working out, but let's go to the phones at 800-222-9455. Nick is on line four. Nick, thanks for calling in. Are you a 4 day or a 5 day worker?
Hello?
Nick, are you with us? Yeah, go ahead. Thanks for calling in.
I'm here. Yeah, I work 5 days a week. But as I was explaining to the gentleman who answered the phone, I find that the last 2 hours of the day, there's nothing going on.
And we just nothing going on in the last 2 hours. Yeah.
Can't get off work anyway.
Yeah. All right, Nick. Well, thanks so much for calling in. I appreciate that. Meredith, how about that? Did you hear from people maybe in your surveys or just in talking with people you work with that, those the ends of those 5 hour work days in the old days were not as productive?
I think, over the course of when we were doing the pilot, before we made this a permanent part, of our organization, what we really heard was, these areas of inefficiencies over the course of the work week, to come back to what we, highlighted already. Can that meeting, be a half an hour instead of 45 minutes? Do we need an entire team or entire department on a particular meeting, or does it just need to be particular individuals? So I think that's a lot of what we heard was just really recognizing over the course of the pilot areas over the course of the week where these inefficiencies were being recognized, and course correcting where that was concerned.
Brian?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's great listening to Meredith, and it's triggering some thoughts. And you said you had an email about someone who was attracted to this 4 hour job. I'm sorry, this 4 day work week, and had their CV all fired up and ready to go. Lots of concerns in the labor market about labor shortages. And I and amongst others have argued really they're not labor shortages. They're quality of job shortages. And I think what Meredith has done is incentivize a lot of smart people who care about their work and they want work to be important to them, but also want it to fit into how they experience their life, are going to be attracted to what she's offering. And they're going to become magnets for a lot of talent. And so if you want to, you know, if you want to secure that skilled labor force, raise the quality of the job. And one way to do that is to demonstrate how it fits into the life of a fully fleshed adult human being living in the 21st century. And I think it's, so I think it's, that was another macro piece that I wanted to make sure I shared with you.
No, I appreciate that, Bob. And you know, how does this fit into this idea we see among a subset of younger people, and maybe not even some younger, so young people, but this grind culture, it's called, right? And we see Elon Musk at Twitter, you know, encouraging only the most hardcore employees and laying off thousands of others, which obviously has some complexity and nuances to it. But, you know, there are people tweeting photos of themselves with sleeping bags under their desks. Talk about how that strain in the American work culture fits in with this other idea of like, okay, take a step back, take a breath. It doesn't have to be a 24/7, 365 job.
Yeah. At the core of surveys that have been done with the workforce that go back years, at the core, there is an enormous anxiety about time. That workers express that they're losing control of their life. And again, these are workers, but these are full human beings who don't feel they have control of their time. They're either at work, thinking about getting to work, thinking about getting home from work, trying to balance what they have to do in between, so that what's left after work is the in between, not the rest of their life, where they will say they feel like they should be invested, like with their kids, with their loved ones, pursuing forms of higher education or cultural pursuits. And so time has become such a rare and diminished asset that it really is the focal point, quite frankly, with a lot of anxiety that people are feeling. So if we can get the work schedule correct, then people can, not just sort of metaphorically, but literally take a breath and manage their life. And to your point, younger workers say at very, very high levels when surveyed that they want to do meaningful work. They really want to do something that makes them feel good. It's connected to their identity, but it has to be part of a full self, a full identity, which means it needs to be balanced with that time away from the workforce. And probably in terms of their commitment to looking at a different work week, it is a departure from their parents and grandparents' attitudes and practices.
Meredith, I want to ask you, I'm sure there are people out there who hear this and say, this is just people who don't want to work hard. I wonder if your firm has had to deal with that with clients at all, and how you sell that to clients. And you've already talked a little about the pro business case for the 4-hour work week, but do you ever hear pushback?
You know, my co-guest kind of touched on this a little bit of, you know, there's, I think, a different way of kind of looking at how you organize how your business goes about the week and making sure that they're supporting the client and the customers. So while we have a 4-day work week, we still have people that are taking care of our clients and our customers 5 days a week. And that kind of comes back to some of the things that we identified over the course of the pilot and ensuring that we were able to keep that high level of customer satisfaction. We introduced a project management tool called Asana so that, you know, there were clear lines of communication on different projects and tasks. Communication in general, you know, amongst the teams and the departments over the course of the week is really key in order to ensure that if somebody's off on Wednesday, that any sort of high-level tasks that have to still be handled or passed off to the right person. So I think that's why with any organization rolling out this this type of structure, it's really key to take the right steps and the proper preparation of putting some of these tools, some of these processes in place to make sure that from an external standpoint, it's kind of business as usual.
Bob, only less than a minute left in our conversation. Does this have to be, what level does this really have to come from? Does this need to be state law, federal law? Can we, you know, could businesses and schools, given all the moving parts here, how does this actually happen?
I'll just briefly jump in. For example, the state of Maryland has actually created incentives to encourage employers to look at alternative work weeks. I believe Pennsylvania is doing something similar. So it certainly can come from policymakers. The state governments, city governments could incentivize. They have a role to play here. Their policy moves could be very helpful. The idea of piloting, of working through different kinds of schedules in different industries can be encouraged and incentivized. So I do think there's a role for the state in this.
All right. Well, we shall see. Bob Bruno with the University of Illinois School of Labor and Employment Relations, Meredith Lane Canal with AWIN. Thank you so much for being with us to talk about this today on the 21st show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living.
And that is all the time we have for our program today. The 21st show is produced by Christine Hatfield and Jose Zepeda. Our interns are Owen Henderson and Anaya Jones. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick's our news director. The 21st show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We will talk with you again next week.
Just a step on the boss man's ladder, but you got dreams he'll never take away. In the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in and the tide's gonna turn.